Let's sing from hymn number 18. Not from the first three and the last.
Do we have any greetings? George, Brother George.
Greetings from the Meisters. I saw them yesterday. Prayer and support is most appreciated and should continue. Mm-hmm. If everything goes according to the schedule, you should be home on Tuesday day after tomorrow. Mm-hmm.
Okay, thank you. So you went to see him at the hotel.
Yes.
But, yes. And, so he should be, he's improving, and he can feel that that things are getting better, and he can feel the changes, and he's scheduled to come home on Tuesday. And so Tuesday will be a long day for them. That and hopefully he will be home after that. And we're not sure exactly when he would come back to church because his immune system is still not what it should be. And
I asked him if he would be here next Sunday. He said no.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So we are thankful for his improvement, and we're thankful that things are going well there, and keep praying for him. Mike Smith also called up, and he's still having problems with his back. He's going to go and see another doctor to make sure that other things are okay, or what his opinion on that. So keep him in your prayers. And then we talked about Mark, and he may be back in church on December 1st, if not whenever it is after that. And Mark also said that Johnny and Mary Lou talked to him over the phone, and he said that they want to send their greetings to church.
To the fine,
To the foundation?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so get things in if it needs to go through the foundation by December 15th. And we should get other things in on a timely matter also. That today we'll have Bible class, service, lunch, and an afternoon song service. Wednesday night is scheduled for in person and Zoom. And then November 23rd, which is next Saturday, is the friend-giving supper. And we want to see, we should try to invite as many people as we can and for that. Yeah, we also have communion scheduled for November 24th, but I was thinking that maybe we should postpone that until Mark is back, and we'll see how that works. And we also had a members' meeting scheduled and for December 1st, and we may postpone that also. Depends on how Mark will come back. And then the coat drive is going, as you can see, and we're thankful for that. Also, the mission focus, the Little Hands Orphanage. They sent this. They're saying that there's a couple from Canada that's been helping out over there, and they're returning now, so that they won't have those to help them out anymore. But they're looking for other people to come and to try to help them out with things. So we'll put this on the board, and yeah, and we'll also put this on the board about the Friendsgiving on that. And is there anything else that would need to be announced? If not, pray for Brother Harry as he would have the service this morning. And can we sing from hymn number 344? 344.
Good morning. It's good to hear the news about how Brother Mark is improving, and we do need to continue praying for him and Becky. Let's bow to pray. Father, we thank you for all you have provided for us each and every day. You are an awesome God, and we take it all far too granted, more than we should. We need to daily, hourly, honor you because of who you are. The one who created us, the one who gave us life, and gave us so many beautiful things. We just adore you for who you are. And we thank you for the love that you shower upon us through the Lord Jesus Christ in giving himself for us because he loved us. And we pray for all our loved ones that are dealing with difficult things now, especially we pray for Brother Mark. We thank you for his improvement. And we continue to look forward to him being well and being able to worship with us again. And now as we open your word, we ask that you would all teach us all from it and how we should live here on this earth. May we always look to you to see how we should live and not on our own devices. We thank you, Lord Jesus Christ, for who you are and what you have done for us, and pray this in your holy name. Amen. So I'm going to continue preaching out of Matthew chapter 7. And Matthew 7 is the concluding chapter of the Sermon on the Mount. And last time we looked at verses 1 to 6. I'll read verses 1 through 12 and we'll focus on verses 7 through 12 this morning. Judge not that ye be not judged. For with the judgment ye judge, ye shall be judged, and with what measure ye meet, it shall be measured to you again. And why beholdest thou the mote that is in thy brother's eye, but considerest not the beam that is in thine own eye? Or how wilt thou say to thy brother, let me pull out the mote out of thine eye, and behold, a beam is in thine own eye? Thou hypocrite, first cast out the beam out of thine own eye, and then shalt thou see clearly to cast out the mote out of thy brother's eye. Give not that which is holy unto the dogs, neither cast ye your pearls before swine, lest they trample them under their feet, and turn again and rend you. Ask, and it shall be given to you. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh receiveth, and he that seeketh findeth, in him that knocketh, it shall be opened. Or what man is there of you, whom if his son ask bread, will give him a stone? Or if he ask a fish, will he give him a serpent? If he then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your Father, which is in heaven, give good things to them that ask him? Therefore, all things whatsoever ye would that men should do to you, do ye even to them, for this is the law and the prophets. As we said last time, judge not that ye be not judged is probably one of the most misquoted verses in the Bible. But verses 7 and 8, I think, are also misquoted. Verses 7 and 8 again. Ask and it shall be given you. Seek and ye shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh receiveth, and he that seeketh findeth, and him that knocketh it shall be opened. If we simply look at those two verses, and not in their context, or interpret them with the rest of Scripture, they imply that we can get anything we want. It's like God giving us a blank check. We can write whatever number we want onto that blank check. Or we make God out to be a cosmic genie. We just don't need a lamp to rub. What we ask for, he'll give it to us. And that's the basis of the prosperity gospel, or the name it, claim it gospel, which truly is not the gospel. They say that God wants you to be rich, healthy, have no problems. And there are many preachers that still teach this and deceive many. And they teach, if you're not rich and healthy, you just don't have enough faith. You need more faith. I wonder if they, what those preachers do when they read through the book of Acts and see all the difficulty that the disciples went through, and Stephen being stoned, and Paul and all the things he suffered. How do they talk away those things? How do they explain those things? If they say, name it and claim it. They, Paul didn't name it and claim it then? It's just so silly. So, what is the context of Matthew? Jesus spoke these words here, starting in verses 7 through 12, near the end of the Sermon on the Mount. And Jesus started the Sermon on the Mount with the Beatitudes. To be part of the kingdom of God, we need to be poor in spirit. Do we acknowledge to ourselves that we are spiritually bankrupt? That's what Peter did when Jesus did that miracle with all the fishes. Peter saw that he was spiritually bankrupt. Depart from me, I'm a sinful man. We need to be poor in spirit. Remember the parable of the Pharisee and the publican? The Pharisee was proud to be a Pharisee. The publican was humble. He beat on his chest, God be merciful to me, a sinner. We must be humble. We need to mourn again. Peter was doing the same thing. We should mourn about the sin we see in other people's lives. We should mourn about the sin we see in our own lives. And that goes back even to the beginning of chapter 7, the mote and the beam, seeing the sin in our own eyes and in others' eyes. And then going on with the Beatitudes, we need to be meek. We need to hunger and thirst after righteousness. We need to be merciful. We need to be pure in heart. We need to be peacemakers. And if we and when we do those things, Jesus says we will be persecuted for righteousness' sake. We need to be salt and light. Our righteousness must be greater than the righteousness of the religious leaders. We should not give, fast, or pray so that others see us. We must lay up our treasures in heaven. We must seek first the kingdom of God. And we must judge ourselves before we judge others. And how can we do all of these things? Not through any of our own power. I know I can't. So we need to ask, seek, and knock on heaven's door. In other words, we need to pray. Note the words ask, seek, and knock in the Greek are present imperatives. Now, I am terrible at grammar. Okay, if you asked me to explain what a present imperative was, I probably wouldn't be able to do it. Other than I do know the meaning of those words ask and keep on asking. Seek and keep on seeking. Knock and keep on knocking. It's not something that happened in the past or happens once. It's a continuous activity. And I recall one man's interpretation of these verses that I read years and years ago. His daughter had a fever, and he asked his heavenly father to take care of her. The fever got worse, so he took her to the doctor. And the man praised earnestly in seeking the face of the heavenly father that he would take care of his daughter. The fever went higher, and he had to take her to the hospital. And in the hospital, while they were treating her, he was knocking on heaven's door, asking to watch over and take care of his daughter. His prayer intensified as his daughter got sicker. And I think many of us have been through that, whether with a loved one or just when we see the needs of those around us. And there's a parallel scripture for this event here in Luke chapter 9, verses 11 through 13. And I say unto you, ask, and that shall be given you. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and that shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh receiveth, and he that seeketh findeth, and to him that knocketh it shall be opened. If the son shall ask bread of any of you that is a father, will he give him a stone? Or if he ask a fish, will he for a fish give him a serpent? Or if he shall ask an egg, will he offer him a scorpion? If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask him? So here in Matthew 7, verses 7 through 9, through 10, sorry, and Luke 11, 12, Jesus gives us three examples of a son asking his father for something. Verse 9. Or what man is there of you, whom if his son ask bread, will give him a stone? That word, bread, is the same Greek word as used in the feeding of the 5,000 or the feeding of the 4,000, meaning loaves, basically loaves of bread. They were probably not very large. If you remember the stories, you know, it wasn't like the loaf of sourdough bread you can buy that's, you know, a pound. They're probably little loaves, because he says, would he, instead of giving him bread, would give him a stone. They were probably stones the same size. So you take a, I should have brought a stone. You take a white stone or a little loaf of bread. As a father, which would you give your child? You've given them bread. You want him to eat. You're not going to trick him and give him a stone. That's silly. Verse 10. Or if he ask a fish, will he give him a serpent? That word serpent is translated snake in newer translations. But I'm inclined to believe that the word, the really meaning of the word is an eel. They went out to fish. In that net they caught fish, and they probably caught eels too. Now eels were unclean animals, and no Jewish father would ever give his child an eel to eat. He'd give him the fish, but not the eel. The eel would be thrown back because they were unclean. You couldn't eat them. And so it would be wrong to do that. So a Jewish father would give them the fish. And then in Luke 12, if he, 11, 12, or if he shall ask an egg, will he offer him a scorpion? I've read that a scorpion can scrunch itself up so much that it looks like a ball elongated. Just all scrunched up. Or like an egg. No father would give his child a scorpion. First of all, they're poisonous. And again, they're also unclean. So that would never be a thought of a father giving his son a scorpion. He'd give him the egg because that's what he needed to eat. And then Jesus adds in verse 11, if ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your Father, which is in heaven, give good things to them that ask him? Jesus doesn't mince words here. He calls his disciples evil, wicked. But even evil men will provide good things for their children. And we know our Heavenly Father, who is never evil, will always give good things to his children. We may ask for many things in our prayers that may be good for us, at least good in our eyes. And then when we don't get them, we might be frustrated or upset with God. but we need to trust that God knows what is best for us. And whatever we receive from Him, we need to be thankful for that. Because He knows what is good for us. Psalm 84:11 says, "No good thing will He withhold from them that walk uprightly." Tell you a little story. When we were in college, there was a young man, older than us, that was a believer. He had a strong faith in who Jesus Christ was and put his faith and trust in Him. And he knew that he needed to follow what the will of God in his life. I'm going to call him Josh. And he liked a young lady. I'm going to call her Karen. And he felt that she's probably the one that I should marry. And so, you know, in the back of his mind, you know, how do I go about, you know, making this work out? You know, again, asking the Holy Spirit to guide him. And over time, the Holy Spirit spoke to him and says, "You're not going to marry Karen." And he admitted he was upset. Wait a minute, you know, she's a believer, I'm a believer, we work good together. No, the Holy Spirit said, "You're not going to marry Karen." And he literally was upset. He said he didn't know what to do. How do I get out of this? I think this is the right one for me, but now I'm hearing, no, it's not. And then he found this verse: "No good thing will He withhold from them that walk uprightly." And he, it was hard, he said, but he trusted in this verse. He trusted that God was leading him. He was could not marry Karen. And then sometime later, not too long later, I think, he was in an auditorium, and the Holy Spirit spoke to him, "You're going to marry the young lady that walks through the door." And sure enough, a young lady walked through the door. He had no idea who she was. He didn't know her. But that's what the Holy Spirit said. I'm going to call her Dottie. And I don't know the details in terms of how they met each other then, but I just recently read that Dottie said 6 months after they met, they were engaged. And now they've spent 50 plus years in Christian ministry. "No good thing will He withhold from them that walk uprightly." God will provide good to us and for us, even when we don't understand it and we think something else is good. It might be good, but it's bad for us. We need to listen and find the good that God wants for us. And then at the end of Luke 11:13, it says, "How much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask Him?" The Holy Spirit is very good, and that's who we need. And Jesus sent the Holy Spirit to live in the hearts of believers, you and me, after He rose up into heaven. In John 14:16-17, it says, "And I will pray the Father, and He shall give you another Comforter, that He may abide with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth Him not, neither knoweth Him. But ye know Him, for He dwelleth with you, and shall be in you." What a promise from Jesus. The Holy Spirit shall be within us when we believe on Him. That is very good. And there are many additional verses in the scriptures and talks about in terms of what it means to ask the Lord for guidance. John 14, 13 and 14. And whatsoever ye shall ask in my name, will I do, and that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If ye shall ask anything in my name, I will do it. Here Jesus is saying that asking must be in his name. That doesn't mean simply at the end of our prayer, we say in his name, and that means we're going to get it. Okay? I think we should say those words because it's all according to his will. But it's not a formula. Okay? Whatever we are praying for, if I go back to other verses, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. Whatever we're asking for, would the Father be glorified? Would the Father be embarrassed by what we asked for? Whatever it is, we need to have the mind of Christ in order to ask for the right things. Romans 12:2 says we need to be transformed by the renewing of our minds. Our minds must be in sync with the mind of Christ so that we can ask properly for the things that we think we need. John 15:7. If ye abide in me, and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. Another critical thing for asking is we need to allow Jesus to abide in us. That's the Holy Spirit living within us. And his words need to abide in us also. We need to know his word. We need to read it. We need to study it. We need to apply it in our lives. And we can't pick and choose verses. Okay, this verse applies to me, and not read it in context. It's like the guy who said, okay, Lord, what should I do? He opened the Bible, and it said, Judas hanged himself. He goes, oh, no. What should I do? We open the Bible and says, go do thou likewise. Well, obviously, that was not the leading of the Holy Spirit. We can't just arbitrarily pick verses. We need to understand the word and make sure we apply it properly to our lives. And James 4, 1 to 10. And I didn't want to read all of it, but I think it just is such a concise set of verses. For whence cometh wars and fighting among you? Come they not hence, even of your lusts, and that war in your members? Ye lust and have not. Ye kill and desire to have, and cannot obtain. Ye fight in war, yet ye have not, because ye ask not. Ye ask and receive not, because ye ask amiss, that ye may consume it upon your own lusts. Ye adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not that the friendship of the world is enmity with God? Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is the enemy of God. Do ye think that the scripture saith in vain, the spirit that dwelleth in us lusteth to envy? But he giveth more grace, wherefore he saith, God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace unto the humble. Submit yourself therefore to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and purify your hearts, ye double-minded. Be afflicted, and mourn, and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning, and your joy to heaviness. Humble yourself in the sight of the Lord, and he shall lift you up. Those are very heavy words that James wrote to his fellow believers. And we're not going to go into detail on all the things that he said there, but the two things that apply to today's service is, number one, we need to be humble. We cannot be proud. And number two, they asked for the wrong things and therefore did not have those that they needed to be faithful, strong believers. They were asking things to satisfy their own lusts. Clearly, that was wrong. And when believers basically try to do their own thing, Christ suffers, the church suffers, we all suffer. We need to be humble and listen to that Holy Spirit speak unto us. Matthew 7:12, at the end of this section here, says, therefore all things whatsoever you would that men should do to you, do ye even so to them, for this is the law and the prophets. We might know this verse as the golden rule. Do unto others as you would have them do unto you. And the golden rule is mentioned in almost all religions, but typically it's mentioned in the negative. It says, don't do to others what you don't want them to do to you. So don't steal if you don't want to be robbed. Don't hate if you don't want to be hated. Basically, don't sin against somebody if you don't want them to sin against you. Those are good things, okay? But Jesus said it positively. Be kind to others so that they'll be kind to you. If you want others to be kind to you, help others so they would help you. Love others if you want others to love you. You'll notice that verse 12 says, starts off with the word therefore. And we always ask, when you see the word therefore, what is the word therefore, therefore? It obviously is connecting the previous verses to this verse. And what did the previous verses all say? What was Jesus saying? They taught how we should be as children of the Father. How the Father is good to his children. And if we want the Father to be good to his children, we need to be good to others. We need to imitate the Father in how he loves us and how he's good to us. And therefore, at the same way, we need to love others and be good to others. So when we ask, seek, and knock for things in our lives, we need to listen to the Holy Spirit and pray as he directs. We must treat others the way the Father treats us, with love and grace. And as I was reading this, I thought of a song that's 25 plus years old, and I'll read just a part of it. Knocking on Heaven's Door. Well, in my closet a spot is worn from hours and hours upon my knees. I step inside, the quiet's like a doorway to a world of peace. One thing I don't worry about, I can't wear my welcome out. I keep knocking on Heaven's door. I keep talking, 'cause you answer, Lord. Won't be stopping, so be listening to me. I'm knocking on Heaven's door. I must admit that my prayer is not as persistent as that song implies. So I have work to do in my own life. And I pray that we all would listen to the Holy Spirit speak to us on a daily basis and pray as the Holy Spirit directs and not after our own wishes and wants. Let's close by singing hymn 174, verses 1, 2, and 9. 174, 1, 2, and 9.
We thank you that God's word has gone forth. We thank you, brothers Phil and Harry, for bringing God's word forth. And we can look at those things and see that when Jesus spoke, that he really should be obeyed, because he has better things in store for us maybe than we can even imagine. And I'm wondering if even in my life, if sometimes I've talked myself out of seeing a miracle because I thought I knew what should be done, and God knows, God is greater than that. He knows what is best for us, and when we ask and seek and find, when it tells us to do that, it's when we know that what God wants for us is really the best for us, and sometimes I think I know what is best, but really it's God who knows what is best. And once we have that in our thoughts and in our minds and in our heart, that God knows best, we should really give it over to him and let him direct our lives as it should be. Let's arise for a prayer. Our Father and our God, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the love that you have for each one of us. And we thank you that we can come unto you and we could ask in prayer those things that are according to your will, and that we could experience the grace and goodness that you have. And we thank you for being such a loving God, and we thank you for being a God that is so personal, that can dwell within our hearts. And Lord, we ask that you would cleanse our hearts of all things that would be against you or would be not according to your will. And Lord, we thank you that we can come unto you. We thank you that we can experience what you have done for us, and we thank you especially for sending your Son to die for my sin so that it could be forgiven and that we could live lives that are pleasing in your sight. And Lord, as we partake of a meal today, we would also ask for a blessing upon the food and that it would serve to strengthen our bodies that we may do your will. Lord, we ask that you would be with us throughout this day and throughout this week, and that we would be mindful of the things that we have heard from your word, and to be mindful of how we should be obedient unto your will and to your way. And Lord, we just thank you for all that you do to bless us, for we pray it in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.